And it's another episode of the Cherokee Rewind, I believe 97. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Mick, of course, you know that. My guest this time around is a guy who played, I believe, was it 99-2000?
No, it's a couple years after that.
Okay, so 2000-2001? Close.
2002 to 2003 season, and then the 2003-2004 season. So two seasons.
Wow, man, it seems like forever ago. And it just, I mean, well, when I did this for 20 years before I retired from it, and it's like all the names and seasons all run together, you know. But that is one, Larry Willard. And LW has been, oh my gosh, he was probably one of the most gifted guys at that level that I ever saw play. And I tell you, it, now I do this thing that where I try to remember your jersey number, and I'll be honest, I don't stand a snowball's chance to, in heck, to remember it, but I'm going to take a guess at it, and you can just tell me what actually it was. But I am going to say, 14.
14 was it. That's right.
Oh my God. Don't ask me how I just guessed at it. I mean, I wasn't sure. I was going back and forth between 14 and 15 because I knew you were in the teens somewhere. I just couldn't remember where. And anyway, the thing is that I don't cheat and look up on the, you know, on the internet and try to figure the, see what all the stuff did. I try to do this solely from memory, and it just makes it more fun and challenging that way. So, but anyhow, first of all, welcome. Now, were you a local guy? Were you from around this neck of the woods when you first started playing?
I was. I grew up in Petersburg, Michigan. I grew up playing hockey, and my neighbor was actually a Toledo Cherokee player, and that's how I kind of got involved with hockey, actually. Brandon Meisner.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you remember the name.
Oh yeah, I
the
remember
late,
he was
mid to late 90s.
Yeah, he was he wasn't the tallest big or guy out there on the ice, but by God, that kid, he's probably, oh, anyway, just means I'm old. Anyhow, you guys are all kids to me still. Anyhow, that guy could, he would go into the corners and mess you up, and he was fearless. Okay. And the guy was 5 foot nothing. I mean, he really was. He was just a short guy, and but he played like he was 6'6". I mean, he didn't care. He went in there and played. He was not reckless, but he played with reckless abandon, I'll put it that way. And he would go into corners and be nasty. I mean, nasty. He would get under your skin. He would get so many guys mad at him and stuff. And he'd draw penalties, too. But they hacked and whacked him and everything like that. And it just, oh, my gosh. I remember him and his old man both, because they were both on the shorter side of things. Yep. And I just, I remember the, how much fun it was just to watch those guys play because, or him play, because he was just such an annoying pest. You know, to paraphrase, I'd call him a crap disturber. He was kind of one of the original crap disturbers, and he was so good at it. You know, but when you're that
Absolutely.
Size, you got to play that way in order to say you don't, you know, so you can basically see you have a job because, I mean, otherwise those other big boys, they'll do whatever they have to mess you up. But now
that's right.
What I mean, that so Brandon and his dad were, that's what got you into hockey was watching, you know, hearing about the Cherokee.
Well, so I know Brandon always used to play hockey, and we had a basketball court outside our place. We always got in some big street hockey games, and then so he kind of introduced me to hockey, and my dad and I used to watch Wings games growing up, and then I started playing hockey when I was four, you know, skating at Tam O'Shanter in Sylvania there, and then that's back in the day when the Cherokee used to play at Tam O'Shanter. I used to go to the games, and then my neighbor started playing there. And then, you know, I played a couple years of high school hockey for Northview. And then, you know, after my sophomore year, I had no intention of leaving high school hockey. But Brandon and another friend of mine who played for Cherokee for a little while kind of convinced me to go to tryouts one day and just went there and, you know, sparked a conversation with the coaching staff and some of the players, and I think Brandon had put in a good word for me because he knew some of the guys like Dan Mays and things like that, and Todd Omey. And then I guess they knew who I was coming into it. But then, yeah, it started in tryouts, and then, you know, they put me on a line with Kelly Kester, and then just kind of went from there, really.
That was magic. Of course, Kelly, so this day, I mean, I love every player that ever put on a Cherokee uniform, you know, because all the effort and the sacrifice and everything that it is involved. I mean, it was just so, they were, you know, I was so in admiration of them. But to me, for my money, if I had to say who was the probably one of the hardest working, well, I wouldn't say, I'd just say the overall, probably the one of the guys that really personified Cherokee hockey, it was Kelly Kester, because he had a work ethic second to none, and the kid was very talented. And if he weren't so doggone small, if he was like like 6'4", 6'5", that guy could have played like pro. He definitely could have played pro. And it's just he was in a 5'6", 5'7" body, so nobody gave him that much of a chance. But he was so fast and so talented, he'd carry the team on his back sometimes, you know. And
absolutely did.
Yep. So that's what I remember about Kelly. But anyway, I want to talk about you. So how old were you when you first put on a pair of skates and decided to give this thing a whirl?
I was 4 years old when I first got in the ice.
Four. Wow. So did you do like the learn to skate or IP program over at TAML?
I think I did the IP for a little while, but then I remember just playing, you know, like mini mites and mites. I played for, I forget what the team's name. It was just like a house league for a couple of years. Schrader, I remember playing for Schrader Tire and Oil for several years for John Schrader. Until, you know, probably about until, you know, 6 or 7. And then I started playing Sylvania All-Stars before I got into travel hockey with the Sylvania Maple Leafs.
How old were you when you went to the Maple Leafs?
I believe I was 8 years old when I did my first year with the Maple Leafs. And that was back when I think Ronnie Johnson, he was one of the coaches. And I want to say Dave Grana. And then later on, his brother, Jeff Grana, coached me for several years. But I remember those two coaches, and that was my first year playing travel hockey, and just kind of went from there, really.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny. I was just trying to remember. Now, who taught you to skate, or were you self-taught?
I don't remember. I just remember going out there, and I remember seeing some photos of me just kind of out there and just skating around without a stick, and that's kind of the earliest memory I have. I think that was back before they had those little skate stands where you kind of, you know, use the railing or anything like that. I don't remember
pipe.
Those being around. I don't remember. I know my parents weren't out there with me, so I don't exactly remember how or when, but yeah, right when I was four, I remember my mom saying we're going to play ice hockey today, and just kind of went from there, I guess.
So, you know, that's one of those things where you either fall madly in love with it or you don't play. What sparked, I mean, was it watching the Wings on TV that sparked your passion? Or
I don't think so, because even though I grew up watching the Red Wings games with my dad, I've always been a diehard Pittsburgh Penguin fan since I was 5 or 6. Right around the time, you know, Lemieux and Yager and Francis won their first cups in 91, 92. And, you know, it was always a thing between my family and I when they played the Wings, my friends, the hockey team. You know, they'd always give me a hassle about the Penguins and the Wings and stuff like that. So I don't know what it was. It just kind of, you know, just picked up and I enjoyed it. And, you know, growing up in Michigan, especially with Meisner across the street, we'd always play pond hockey. We had street hockey going. So it's just, you know, just get a stick, get some skates, and start playing.
Man, that had to be pretty crazy. So were you always a forward, or did you spend any time ever at defense?
I was always a forward. I remember one time I tried out as a defenseman. I can't remember if it was one of the years for All-Stars or my first year of travel, but they're like, hey, any defenseman kind of go over here. And then I was like, oh, I'll give this a try. And then I remember halfway through the first game, I was just like, I don't like this. And then I always played forward ever since, kind of thing. So forward always growing up. Then I remember one game, you know, playing back in defense, and they always made me stay back, and I had no, yeah, didn't really like that. Didn't sit too well with the kind of game I played. So later that game, I was back up at forward, and off we went.
Off we went, yeah. And what did, were you a goal scorer, a prolific goal scorer back when you played at that level?
I don't remember as much. I think I did okay. I remember back in the day when they still had, they gave away the patches and stuff like that. You know, you get a patch for your jacket, your team jacket that said, you know, hat trick, or you get a patch that said playmaker or stuff like that. So I remember having those. So I think I did okay, but I don't know if I was leading leagues or anything like that growing up, or I don't even think anyone kept stats like that back then. So
probably not.
I just remember playing and enjoying it. And then, when some of the summers would come around, and then spring hockey, and then, you know, when hockey really started to pick up, you know, they brought in summer hockey and there was summer ice. And, you know, I guess around the time, you know, about middle school, late middle school, before I started high school, you know, pretty much every season just being on the ice. I remember that for quite a while.
Now, when you made the jump from house to travel, did it change your game at all? Do you remember if you played any differently, or maybe your role on the team changed at all?
I don't recall. I remember my first year of travel. I was one of the assistant captains, playing on, you know, one of the forward lines, and then, you know, successive years, I wore the captaincy. So I think I had a decent sized role on the teams I played on in travel. But I don't know if it was any different than, you know, the kind of role I had when I was playing Savannah All-Stars or in the House League or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you played, how many years of travel did you play as far as until you got to high school? So, that's a pretty healthy stint there. What were your teams like when you were going through the ranks through Pee Wee and Bantam and stuff?
We did fairly well. I remember one year, when Jeff Granite was coaching us, we won the Silver Stick tournament in Dayton, Ohio. I remember that. I actually scored the game-winning goal in the finals against Bowling Green. Of all the teams there, there were two local teams from back in our woods in Bowling Green and Sylvania who made it to the finals in Dayton. And I remember that, and I think we did fairly well. We always made the playoffs and stuff like that. I don't know if we. I can't recall like ever advancing to, state championships or anything like that. But I remember there's definitely some tournaments that we won, and the Silver Stick one definitely stands out.
Now, do you remember playing with any guys back then that you would see later down the road?
A lot of the guys I grew up playing with, I would play with either, later in travel, in high school. And then, and then I think in juniors as well, some of the names that stand out, Brett Blatchford, who ended up playing at Notre Dame. Who are some of the other guys that I grew up? Taylor Raska, who played professional hockey. He and I actually grew up down the road from each other. I remember going to his house and, shooting pucks against the board with him and his dad. His dad teaching us some things. Remember that.
Yeah, he had a stint with the Walleye, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so here are local pro hockey team. Yep.
Yeah.
Who are some of the other
guys? Just a bunch of other. Some of the other guys I played high school with, I grew up for many years playing hockey with Brett Lindstrom, who ended up playing with the Cherokee as well. Mm-hmm. Both the years I was there. Brett Molnar, who was there for one of the years I was there. Mm-hmm. Nick Heath, who I played travel with for years and then played a couple years of high school with. I remember growing up playing hockey and travel hockey with for a little while with Troy Bowes, who played a little bit with Cherokee as well. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys. Those are pretty much around my age, and then some of the other guys, you know, were the 85 birth years, who were a year older than me until we got a little older in travel hockey, and then started playing with them as well.
Okay, so what made you pick playing high school at Northview over sticking with travel?
So I remember last year of travel in eighth grade, I was still living in Michigan, and all my friends, you know, being Sylvania, you know, they were headed to Northview, Southview, St. John, St. Francis, and you know, I was pretty much like the odd man out, and they were trying to get me to you know, go to this team, go to that team, or you know, was I going to play AAA in Michigan, you know, with like my friend at the time, Brett Blatchford. And then ultimately I remember going with I think it was seventh or eighth grade, must have been eighth grade. I remember going to a Sylvania Northview hockey team, a hockey game on a Saturday night, when Brett Lindstrom and his brother Eric, who I played with for a couple years at Northview, Eric Lindstrom, he was only a sophomore at Northview. And I remember going to that game, and I don't know why. I still remember the game. They lost 6-2 to St. John's, and Eric Lindstrom had both goals in that game. And I remember meeting Coach Jim Cooper after the game, and he got me a Northview puck and stuff like that. And you know, that was some of my first memories of high school hockey and the atmosphere, and the Johnnies, and you know, the Wildcats. And you know, my family and I started looking into it a little bit more. And then, ironically enough, to make that actually happen, I remember it broke my mom's heart, but she actually signed away legal guardianship of me to my aunt and uncle, who lived in Sylvania, so that I could actually attend Northview High School and play for the hockey team there.
Wow, that had to be hard.
Yeah, she's still not too fond of it to this day, but you know, it worked out, I think, in the end, because it got me to play some high school hockey. I met some great friends at Northview High School that I'm still friends with to this day, a lot of whom were never even involved in hockey, and I never would have met, you know, still going to school in Michigan, and you know, everything that, you know, the Cherokee after that, and then everywhere in between, I guess.
Well, that's funny, because I was thinking, you know, oh my gosh, you know, okay, local kid, you know, probably I didn't realize you had gone to Sylvania Northview, because I figured, being from Petersburg, you would have gone through, you know, like one of the Catholic schools or something in Ohio, so that you could stay at home. And it's like, wow, you know, that had to be a huge decision for your folks to do that for you. But hey, as you said,
absolutely,
it worked out. So tell me what it was like when you got to Tam O'Shanter as a member of the Northview Wildcats.
I remember it was great. So I was a freshman. Oh man, I was 160, 170 pounds soaking wet, and you know, going against, you know, 17 and 18 year old you know, men, you know, juniors and seniors. And you know, Coach Coop at Northview really put a lot of faith in me, and he put me on one of the top couple lines, and just, you know, I remember being on the top power play unit as well as a freshman, and you know, really starting to excel, and you know, kind of going from there. And it was a great experience. It was a little nerve-wracking being on the ice. Was easy. It was, at first, it was getting acclimated to Northview High School, because the high school, or the middle school I grew up in Michigan, in Petersburg, Michigan, Summerfield Elementary, and there are about 60 kids in a grade. When I got to Northview, there's 375, 400 kids in each grade.
Oh boy.
So it was quite a difference, and a lot of people, and I wasn't kind of used to that atmosphere at first, and it took me a few months to kind of really come out of my shell, I think, and especially as a freshman. But you know, I remember just being on the ice and, you know, really bonding with the hockey guys, and that was kind of my out. And I remember 5 a.m. practices, going to Tam O'Shanter at 5 a.m., you know, getting some hockey in, some practicing before school and class started, and then going from there. Those were some of the earliest memories I think I have from Northview.
Holy cow, 5 a.m. Well, of course, that's just the hockey line. I mean, you could be in squirts and it'd still be 5 a.m. hockey practice before school. That had to be crazy. And I'm just like, eesh, like that's parent. That's why I always appreciate parents that got up and took their kids and sat there drinking Tim Hortons coffee and just watching their kids out there stumble all over the place. But
Oh yeah.
so what was your team like as far as were they a good team? Were they a decent team when they played out there at TAM the years you played?
When I was with Northview, I thought we were a really great team. We did well both years in regular season. I remember my first year, we lost right before we got to the district finals. So we lost, again, I don't know why I remember some of these scores. We lost 8-5 against St. John's. The winner of that game would have gone to the districts. I forget where in Cleveland they used to play them. But I remember we were up to a 2-0 lead in that game. It was a sellout crowd, just as I'm sure they are still now. But I remember we got an early 2-0 lead, and they came back. And I remember that's back when, I don't know if you remember Jared Kuhn, who played for St. John's at the time. And Coach Mankowski was the St. John's coach, and they came back and beat us 8-5. And then, so we did pretty fairly well that season. And then the following season, so that would have been 2001, 2002, we did even better, I think, in the regular season. And then, we were unfortunately we were upset by Findlay earlier on, before we ever made it to the district finals. But I think, we had a great team that year, potentially even a better team than we had the year before. But we lost a lot of good seniors my freshman year. So both great teams, met a lot of great guys. And got to experience a lot of good hockey.
Yeah. And now, was that when you're talking about playing in Cleveland, was that at the old Gund Arena?
It was an old arena. I remember going down there after that first year, so 2001, when we lost to St. John's. I remember going down there to actually watch the district finals when St. John's played Padua. And I'd never even seen an atmosphere like that, but that was an old arena. So that could have been the name. I'm not sure where they used to hold the district finals back then, but
Okay, then that wouldn't have
that
been
sounds about
Gund,
right.
because Gund was where like the Cavaliers played, and the
Oh, I
Cleveland, the IHL team played, or they and the A, what they went to the AHL, and I can't remember what I think they were like a Penguins affiliate for a while. I don't know if it was
Oh, really?
back during that time, but yeah, Cleveland used to be a Penguins of AHL level affiliate because they changed their
Okay.
name. I can't remember what they were back then. But they
You're
ended
talking
up,
about back when they were the Cleveland Lumberjacks?
yeah, they were the Lumberjacks, and they became the Cleveland, gosh, what did they become? Matter of fact, I think they moved from Muskegon because they were the Muskegon Lumberjacks, and they moved from the IHL, they moved the franchise to Cleveland, and I think they became, I don't know if they became the Cleveland Lumberjacks. Or the matter of fact, I think they did. All I
Okay.
know is that they were. I don't. Yeah, because they. I don't think they. I don't think that Cleveland fans would have took to the Penguins, Cleveland Penguins, because they're the rivalry between Cleveland and Pittsburgh as it is in football. So they were the Lumberjacks, whoever the AHL rights for Cleveland were, they moved to Muskegon. So Muskegon ended up becoming like a double A affiliate of whoever was of the Lumberjacks, and then Muskegon ended up folding up shop, and then they brought back hockey back to Muskegon with a USHL franchise.
Not
So
bad.
yeah, that's a matter of fact, I don't know what they are now. They're either the Fury or they could be the Lumberjacks. I don't know. Yeah, matter of fact, they may be the Lumberjacks again, but
Okay.
anyway, so you were playing in Northview, and you ended up after your second year as a sophomore. What made you consider playing hockey at a higher level?
Again, I never really had any intentions of leaving Northview. I was going to continue on. I had some friends who were talking about going to do it, and again, my neighbor Brandon Meisner was always trying to get me to go check it out. And then I remember a friend of mine who was on Northview, Brett Molnar, talked about that he was going, and we had grown up, good friends in childhood, playing at Northview together. And he was going there, and that's when I think that's when the first year they played up in Monroe, Michigan. And I remember Molnar, myself, and my mom went up there to kind of check it out for tryouts. And I didn't realize that they were already looking to sign me like the first or second day during tryouts. I didn't even know what was really going on. I was 16 at the time, never really thought about leaving Northview, but by the end of that weekend, playing with some good guys, met some good guys, and next thing I knew, I was playing for the Toledo Cherokee just a couple weeks later when the regular season started.
Holy cow. So, I mean, do you remember what the meeting was like with Coach Omi? Because T.O. is probably everyone's favorite coach usually, but he also can have an imposing figure, be an imposing figure when he wants to be.
I don't remember necessarily the meeting too much, or what it was that convinced me. But I remember myself and Brett Molnar, we were signing right around the same time, and with him leaving Northview, and I was looking into it, and I was just thinking. I'm pretty sure we both signed in the same room at the same time, and committed to play for the Cherokee, but I don't remember or recall a specific meeting with Coach Omi at the time that kind of really compelled me or anything like that. And again, like I said, I was never even the thought that summer going into it never even really crossed my mind that I would be leaving Northview. So it just kind of happened, and it just really took off from there, I guess.
Yeah, so tell me, when you were in that camp and you went into the locker room, did you feel any kind of nervousness or intimidation or any kind of anything of the sort?
I mean, I was definitely nervous. Again, 16-year-old kid. I think by that point I may have been 170, 180. Looking around the room, playing against guys in their 20s. It was kind of like night and day. And the only thing that I had was what I could do on the ice. And I remember not really talking much those first few weeks, especially during tryouts in the locker room. I just kind of did my thing on the ice, and just kind of let it speak for itself there. Someone took a liking to me and wanted to keep me around, and just kind of went from there.
So, I guess for the lack of the best way I can ask this is, did you always have that speed as a kid through all the way through the time you were in Toledo? Because you were a pretty quick guy.
I mean, I think I was quick growing up. I don't think I was ever necessarily the fastest guy. I always remember kind of being quick and being offensive. I wasn't, I don't think, I'd never thought of myself like a speed demon or anything like that. I don't think anybody else would ever call me that either. But yeah, I just remember being quick with the puck and, just being able to move it and kind of go from there.
I remember, it was like right around that time. I think I did an interview with Kelly Kester, and I remember him telling me it during the interview. And I don't know why it stuck with me, but it did, and it stuck with me all these years later. I remember it still. He said Larry Willard was probably the one of the very best hockey players I ever played with, and I considered it an honor to be on his line. And I'm sitting here thinking, dude, they should be retiring your number. What are you over here talking about this kid for like that? And we had a laugh about that, but yeah, that's how he felt. And I remember just thinking, holy crap, this kid can play. That's the thing I always remember just saying, because I kept saying that over and over again. Holy crap, that kid can play, you know? And just it was always fun to watch, because I mean, you were very, I think the thing that what made it work was the fact that you were pretty elusive. In other words, if people tried to line you up to try and smoke you, they couldn't. And I mean, I'm sure your body's telling you otherwise, but I mean, as far as, just flat out center of the ice, just a flat out lighten you up, that never happened. You were just very elusive because you could anticipate a lot. And I think that's a skill that not a lot of people have, is that ability to anticipate a play or something happening in a play. And you did that very well. You were very, very good at that.
I appreciate that.
Do you remember anything about the first game you suited up for in a Cherokee uniform?
I do. I remember I was playing on Kelly's line, and that's awesome to hear that Kelly catch would say those things about me. Remember, it was always an honor playing with him. I love being on his line, and centered him. And we, he and I actually had some great chemistry together. That's one of the things that I remember. I'm pretty sure. I think I still have the puck too. I think our first game was actually down in Cleveland, and I remember my mom was there, and I think my oldest sister and her husband, they actually came down, and I remember coming down, and it was right on the where I scored my first goal. It was like a partial breakaway and then a rebound that I put in, and it was right in front of them, and I do remember that because, like I said, we grew up going to the Cherokee games, and then lo and behold, I ended up playing for them. So I remember that experience, and we had a first couple games there, and I. From what I remember, I thought we started off pretty hot, like 7-0-1 or 7-0 or something. Like we had a really good record to start off, and we were unbeaten for a little while there. I just remember us kind of going on like a nice little tear early on in the season.
Now, who was the other person on your line? Do you remember? It was you, Kelly, and who?
See, I can't remember who we played with at that time, but shortly after, it was. It had to be October, November. Kelly and I both got selected to play for the CSHL, the Central States Hockey League All-Star team that was playing somewhere in Michigan. I want to say like Livonia or something like that, for some big junior A tournament. And the CSHL had put together an All-Star team, and they picked a couple players from each team, and they put us together for a weekend. And Kelly and I played in that. So I can't remember who our line mate was around that time, but shortly thereafter, Kelly got noticed, and he got picked up with the Capital Center Pride.
Yeah,
So,
out of Lansing.
yep. And then it was unfortunate that he left. But then after that is when they put me with one of my best buddies to this day, Christopher Kraft, number 21. And then I remember. It was him and one of the Omi brothers. I think it was Mike Omi, because I think I played, not Omi, what are their names? Not Omi brothers. Oh, they're gonna kill me when they listen to this. I can't remember. But
Were
another
they
shorthand
twins?
right-handed guy. No, they weren't twins, they were brothers. Because my first year I played with the older one, and the second year I played with the younger one when I was with the Cherokees. But I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember Chris Kraft and I, he was different style player, bigger, and then Kelly. And then he and I would just, kind of hook things up, and I'd set him up and he'd put him in the net kind of thing. Those are some of the memories I have from there.
Gosh, that's gonna bug me now. Do you remember what number he wore?
I believe it was 10, and it's really gonna bother me. So I'm gonna see if I can look it up real quick.
Oh,
Remember his
okay.
first name was Mike Opit.
Oh
Mike
yeah,
Opit.
okay, Mike and then
That's who it
Matt
was.
Olpin.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember it was Mike, but I'm like I couldn't remember his last name was just it was eluding me. But yeah, Mike
Yeah,
Opit.
Opie, the Pride of Chicago, yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then
So
I think it was like a season or two later that Matt came around, and stuff. But yeah, Opie was, I mean, that he was a spark plug. That guy,
Oh
he
yeah.
wasn't the tallest drink of water by any stretch, but by gosh, he was another one. He didn't care. He wouldn't be afraid to go into the corner. He wouldn't be afraid to mix it up with you. He just played tough. He's just a tough kid,
That's right.
you know?
And
And
I remember after Kelly left, I believe Opie, Kraft and I, we were pretty much on a line together for the remainder of the season, from what I remember. Even when Kelly did come back, even though we had chemistry earlier on the season, I was having really good chemistry with Kraft and Opie, so they kept us together and put Kelly on another line to kind of spread us out, kind of thing.
well, yeah. And again, it goes back to the fact that the two of you, I mean, that gave you two number one lines because of you guys' abilities. Because your ability and Kelly's ability. That I mean, and the fact that you had great chemistry with, you know, with Ope and with Kraft. And I every time I can't think of Chris Kraft without thinking of a defenseman. Tony Pomponio, because they were
Okay.
Pomponio play. Now, did he play that first year when you were there?
He did. I thought you were going to say a different defenseman. I thought you were going to say Todd Blaskowitz.
Good.
But
Oh, good night. That's we could do a whole podcast talking about him. Never mind the fact that I would love to get him on one of these. But
I
yeah.
miss that. I
Anyway,
miss that guy. He's a character.
yeah. He, you know. I hear he's in, I think he's in armed services now.
Yeah, I think he was in the Navy for a while. I haven't had a chance to chat with him in a couple of years, but that's the last I remember as well.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I guess he's a real, you know, good, disciplined citizen, et cetera. And yet, I remember when he played in Monroe, when we were up in Monroe, some of the things he used to do that I can't even mention on the air because, oh my gosh, he was a piece of work. And I remember this because you know it's bad when my best friend, he's a doctor down in Findlay, Ohio, and he was our team doc that first year when we were in Monroe. And his name's Todd Leslie, and he did the Cherokee for that year, and he remembers being in the locker room and some of the stuff, I'll just say some of the stuff that Blasco used to pull, and he remembers him to this day. If you asked him to name anyone else on that team, he couldn't. But he remembers Blasco to this day. And oh my
Awesome.
God, that I mean, I just sit there and just kind of, oh man, that's pretty bad. Anyway, yeah, and then now you think of Blasco as that, and then here he is now, this responsible, you know, disciplined, you know, person that's, it's like you just, it's like you try to match the two up and it's like, what? But but Blasco is a beauty, man. Came from Pittsburgh, I remember that. And he was a piece of work, but I loved him, man. He was a great kid. Now, no, I remember, because of the reason I always remember Kraft, because him and Pomponio were best buds back then, you know. And they would pick on each other mercilessly, call each other names, a lot of stuff that I couldn't repeat. Anyway, and then I'm trying to remember some of the other D from back then, some of the other guys. Let me see, 2000.
And I can't remember his first name, and the last name was Hale. He was one of the
Oh
defensemen.
yeah, John Hale.
Yeah,
Yeah,
remember
he's
some of the
from Fort
forwards
Wayne.
were okay.
Yeah, he's from
Some of the
Fort.
forwards we had. What's that?
I was just gonna say he's a dentist now in Fort Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not bad.
Yeah, so I heard from him not too long ago, so hopefully we'll get a podcast done soon. Now that also, I believe Kobe Peters, was he a teammate? Or did I miss
Yep,
him?
I think it was one of the forwards, and
Yeah, he
then
was a short little guy
we had,
from Fort Wayne.
oh yeah, we had Dan Mays, local guy. We had Chase
Everyone called him
Dunning.
Bobby, and that was, so you know, that's, and to this day, most of his teammates, his old teammates, still call him Bobby. Yeah, you know, they'll be like, you know, because he coaches now out in Pittsburgh, So,
That's great.
yeah, he's doing a great job out there. He's a heck of a coach, and it bears to me kind of what I think, and that is some the guys that weren't the all-star studs that were the number one guy in the top line, blah blah blah. The guys that weren't that, the ones that had to hold the clipboard, not necessarily dress all the time. Those are the guys that end up being the best coaches because they see the
Oh,
game
absolutely.
from different angles. They see the game from the stands. They see the game when they're on the bench, when they're looking out, and they also see it on the ice from playing. So they get a couple of different things, ways of seeing it that they don't always get to see because when they're out playing, and guys like that don't always get the playing time. They study and they pay attention to what's going on and what they would do if they were out there. And I think that kind of helps them as far as becoming good coaches and stuff. And Dan Mays is a perfect example. He didn't his
100%.
first year.
Great guy.
Yeah, his first year, he barely dressed, I'd say less than 40% of the games to dress, let alone play. And then by the time his last year there, he was wearing the A. He was an assistant captain. So that tells you how much he grew. But it's guys like that that you root for, And the other thing too, I'm trying to remember who were some of those other guys. Did you play? I'm trying to remember. Doggone it, this is gonna bug me now. Who are some of the other guys that you remember, like from the first year?
First year, Ben Kubicki. I remember he was on the team. Cause I remember playing travel hockey with him growing up, so I knew him coming in.
Now, I got a question for you, and I want to get Ben's version of this down the line here, but
Oh.
where did he pick up the nickname Gary?
I don't know. I didn't think of that nickname until you said that. I don't know where that came from, but I remember my first year. That's what everybody called him for some reason.
Yeah, they called him Gary. I got to
Do
ask him that.
remember.
Yeah, I
I have
remember.
no idea. You got to ask him. I have no idea.
Okay, well then I'll ask you this one, and this one I hope you have the answer for. Where the heck did they come up with the nickname of Boogie for you?
I think everyone's kind of asked that growing up. I think it's kind of from my mom. The story goes kind of thing when I was, a baby, she would always make like this boogie 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 kind of sound, or something like that, and I would always laugh. And then for some reason, they started calling me that when, I was a toddler, and then she kind of kept that name too. So when I was growing up playing house league and all stars and then travel hockey, she would always yell it in the stands. And that carried over into high school, and then it just kind of went with it. To this day, a lot of my family members still call me Boogie.
Yeah, and
So,
well, most of us remember you as Boogie, and so it's one of those names, it sticks with you, you can't pawn it off, you can't get rid of it, it's with you. But I just never
absolutely.
knew the story behind it. I just knew that they always called you Boogie, and here I thought it was because of how much of a wizard you were on the ice with the puck and everything.
No, I wish there were a cooler story than that. And, my mom would probably be a better, person to kind of tell the story, but that's pretty much all I know. But I remember, yeah, it was just every team I was with, it was always something that kind of caught on. And I didn't realize it had caught on that much with the Cherokee, but that's
Yeah.
good to know. I guess people remember that.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Whenever I talk to you, I'll talk to Omi, I'll see T.O. every once in a while, and or I'll see if I see Mike Robertson and those guys, whenever we would talk about some of the stuff of some of the players and your name would come up, it was always Larry Willett, Boogie.
No way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was just, that's just one of those names that stuck. It's kind of like with Dan Mays being Bobby. It's like, yeah, his name's Dan Mays, but so what? He's Bobby to us. We always called him Bobby Mays Hayes, So, but
That's right.
and like I said, to this day, most of us still call him Bobby, even though it's Dan, and Coach Dan Mays, but us goofballs still call him Bobby. So take it for what it's worth.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so you go in there, and I think probably one of the other things that I remember, and I don't know if it's a record to this day. Well, in the CSHL, it is, because the CSHL is no more. There, it's the NA3HL, but it morphed into that. But I think it's still, let's put it this way, if there's anyone else that has done it, I'd like to know who. Because, especially at that level. But you were the only guy that I know of that scored 5 goals in one game and scored all five in a different manner. It was a different, they were different style goals. You scored, I think it was regular strength goal, even strength goal, and then shorthanded power play, penalty shot, and empty netter.
That was my second year. Because I remember some of the guys who were on the ice for some of those goals, and I remember that it was against Grand Rapids too. Because I remember that penalty shot. I was surprised it actually went in. But yeah, that's I can't believe you even remember that.
Well, so for something that special that doesn't happen that often, I don't remember much, but I do remember that. I mean, that had to be, I can't even imagine what went through your mind that night, because that was, I mean, by that point though, your, I don't want to say stardom, but your ability to put the puck in the net was noticed by a lot of, by it was league wide. Everyone knew that Willard was the guy, 14 and white, was the guy that he was the bread and butter, part of the bread and butter for Toledo. And but still, the fact that you did, and it was early in the season, wasn't it? Wasn't it like near the beginning of the season?
It was my second year. I think it was like the second half sometime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember. It was sometime after January that year. I don't remember
After the
exactly,
Christmas
but
break. Okay.
yeah.
But yeah, I just remember that, and it was like, holy cow. I thought it was great you scored a hat trick, and then it was like, wow, four. And it was like, oh my God, he's going for his fifth. And sure enough, the empty netter. But I mean, gee whiz, man. That's like I said, I think that was the first time it ever happened in CSHL history. And to my knowledge, that's the only time. Because I was with that team through the change of from the CSHL to the NA3HL. And even in the NA3HL, I've seen guys score, have multiple goal games, but not 5 goals, and each one scored in a different, unique fashion. That wasn't, I have yet to see anyone that, I mean, there may have been someone since I've retired. There may be someone there that I have, that may have done it, but honestly, I don't think there has been. I really don't. So I think you're probably the only guy I know that has done that at this level, So that's pretty darn impressive. And the fact that
That's
it's,
pretty cool.
yeah, it's pretty cool. Something you can tell your kids someday about, But it's it. I mean, it was. I mean, that second year. Now, did you wear the A or something like that? Did you wear a letter when you were in the second year?
So yeah, so at the beginning of the season, because they didn't bring too many players back that second year from the first year. The Olmstead brothers left coaching. They brought in new coaches, Varga or
Varga, yeah,
Vargas
Chris
and
Varga.
Chris Varga. Yep, and then Kinsella, and then there's only a couple of us from the year before. Brett, I remember Brett Lidstrom being there. And then Kraft was there briefly before he got called up, and was playing with the Black Bears in Northern Michigan somewhere. Same thing with Ryan Behnke. He was with us the year prior, and then he got called up that year too. He and I had some chemistry as well when we weren't with Open that first year. I remember Behnke being on the line with Chris and I as well. But yeah,
Another
beginning of the season,
Chicago
they
kid.
gave me the C. The beginning of the season, they gave me the C, and I remember being absent one of the games for a high school function I had going on, and came back, and the C was no more, and the A was there, and just kind of did my thing and went, didn't change a beat. I think that's actually when I think I was actually wearing the A when the game you were just talking about. I think it's when that happened. So it didn't bother me. Maybe it gave me a little more, less stress or a little more freedom, but I don't know.
Of course, could have also lit a fire under you to pop in some more goals.
There you go.
But so tell me what it was like, not who was, he was great and he was bad, and I don't mean like that. I mean in terms of just the unique differences between playing for Coach Omi versus the brand new guy, Chris Varga.
I remember very different style. I can't remember too much difference. I think there was different approach in terms of how they coached the game. It was a different dynamic in terms of the teams from each year. Our team the first year was, it was nothing like the team the second year. And it doesn't mean necessarily mean it was bad or anything like that. It's just it was different. And I went from being, the rookie the year prior, being the youngest guy on the team, and then the second year in 03, 04, even after just 1 year, just being like the veteran guy. And I remember they brought in a lot of younger guys. So it was a different dynamic. Still great coaching, just I guess you could say different.
Yeah, because I mean they're very unique personalities, Todd Omi and Chris Varga and the late great Brian Kinsella, who again, that's one guy I missed tremendously. He was such a he was a great coach, but also he was so much fun away from the ice. I mean, he was hysterical. Probably still to this day, one of the easily one of the top five funniest human beings I ever been around in hockey. It just he was hysterical, and I blame him and Varga both for taking me on when I went on the road with the team, travel with the team back then, and after like bed check and everything, especially when we were in Grand Rapids. We would go and meet up somewhere, either if not in a bar, in somebody's room, sometimes the office at the rink, whatever. We would meet up with Coach Flanagan and Coach Lang from Grand Rapids and would have a few ginger ales. And oh my God, the stories would fly. And I'm telling you, man, I never laughed so hard in all my life. I mean, Jeff Lang, to me also in the top five of one of the funniest human beings I've ever met. Just insanely funny. Flanagan was pretty funny in his own right, but I was always so intimidated by him because when he was on the bench, my God, you felt like you needed a restraining order because you thought he was gonna like jump out and kill somebody. I mean, he was just super competitive. But I mean, it was just like, holy crap, come on, guys, settle down. But he was a competitor, a big time competitor. And I learned the joy of or curse, whatever you want to call it, of hanging out with the other team's coaching staffs and how much fun that could be. Ooh, it'd get crazy, let me tell you. Anyway, and I won't even talk about St. Louis. My God, Jack Behan, who I'm still good friends with to this day, it just one of the most insane, crazy goofballs you ever met, and I'm going to do a podcast with him on this about what it was like back then, and
Well, I cannot bet.
it's going to be a riot. Let's put it that way. Anyway, so you play that second season. At that point, were you being scouted by other, higher level teams?
So I was. There are a couple teams that were interested in me going into that year. I remember Capital City, Capital Center Pride. Want to say CompuWare, and then the other Toledo team that was there,
Oh,
the
Ice
Junior A team.
Diggers.
Yeah, and I didn't want to. I was going into my senior year in high school, and I didn't want to move away. Like some other guys who played juniors who moved away during their high school seasons or for their high school time, and total kudos to them. I was still kind of a homebody kind of thing, so I couldn't do that, and I wanted to finish up, high school with my family and friends there. So there were a couple offers that I turned down, and then I was actually going to play with the Gold Diggers. But ironically enough, what it came down to is my AP biology class was in the afternoon when they were having their afternoon practice time. So I had to turn down my Coach Mankowski's offer to play with them, and that's how I wound up back with Cherokee.
Okay. Yeah, and it was the Ice Diggers, and it's probably, I mean, it was really weird. I mean, they moved to Toledo after they were originally from Pittsburgh. They were the Pittsburgh Forge, and they won the national championship in Pittsburgh. And then they celebrated by moving all their stuff to Toledo and becoming the Toledo Ice Diggers. And they played there until they, I mean, we had three junior teams playing out of that building because there was the Continental Elite League with the Wolf Pack. And
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that league.
And yeah, matter of fact, there were a few of our guys that ended up going to that team to play, and stuff. Trying to remember, I know Todd Miola did. I can't remember who else, but anyway, the Junior A team, the Ice Diggers, ended up moving to Alpena, and that's where Kenny Miller took the job as coach and GM. And they were up there for a while. And then I think they moved to Marquette, and they ended up folding after a
Oh,
while.
really?
They were up in Alpena for a number of years, and then they moved to Marquette. And I think they were there one or two seasons, and then that was it. They
Really?
eventually, yeah, they eventually folded. But Kenny came back to Toledo, and now he's the current coach of the Cherokee for the junior program.
Oh, okay.
So him and
Yeah,
he's
I
the
meant
head.
for.
Yeah, he's the head coach, and Todd Omey is his assistant coach.
Actually, there you go. Todd's back coaching again. I'm
Yep,
sure he's probably been coaching for a while, but
Yeah, he
I
came
remember.
back about 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Alpena when I was playing in after my second year in Cherokee when I played the North American Hockey League out in Montana. I remember playing Alpena in one of the tournaments we were in. We were in the NA together.
What team did you play for out west?
That was about the only interaction I had with Alpena there. I played for the Helena Bighorns. excuse me. The coach at the time, he was a Michigan guy. And he didn't know that I was still available after my second year with the Cherokee. And I remember graduating high school, and I really didn't know where I was playing or if I was just going to go to school and just be done with hockey. And ended up signing with them really late. And then first or second week of August, I remember getting ready to drive out there and play in the North American Hockey League. And I'll never forget, right around that time, the Cherokee were having their tryouts for that year. And they let me skate with them during that time. And it was really cool, too, because I remember some of the guys I'd played with the year before came out and we did a little farewell. And I remember you actually came out as well there, too. You and I had a picture together. I think that might have been the last time I saw you. It was back right when I was leaving in August 2004. There's a picture of us right outside of the Frickers on Monroe Street in Sylvania. Right as I drove 27 hours across country the next day as an 18-year-old to go out into the mountains in the North American Hockey League the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. I do have one other memory of you. Now, let me ask you, I want to ask you here in your time in Toledo.
Okay.
Do you remember any kind of like when you're in your first year, do you remember any kind of rookie initiation or pranks anyone played on you?
I remember a lot with the rookies. We got it. They had to shave our heads and some stuff on the bus. One of the road trips. Those are about the ones that I can remember. I don't remember specific pranks that were against me specifically. Do you have a story out there? Or
No, I was just asking about like for like
oh.
did you get hot boxed or?
Yep, that was still there. I think that's kind of quite illegal now, but yeah, that was there and quite disgusting, and we'll leave it at
Yeah.
that. Exactly. But yeah, I remember the head shaving thing,
Did you have
and
rookie dinner or?
no, I don't remember that.
Okay, well, they
Those
do that now.
guys. Oh,
Yeah.
did they really?
Yeah, it's a tradition now where the rookies take a it's kind of like adopt a vet, and you take the vet out to dinner somewhere like a Applebee's or that type of establishment, and they pick up the vet's tab. But the thing is that at the rookie usually has to dress in girls' clothes, and they
Interesting.
yeah, and it they'll do shoe check, and if you get shoe
Oh
check.
yeah, you check, yeah.
Yeah, if you get shoe checked, you have to stand on the chair or whatever, or the table in the middle of the restaurant there and sing a song, that
Yeah,
kind of
remember
stuff.
that.
Yeah. So, were you ever shoe checked?
That I didn't shoe checking wasn't a thing that I remember until I was in the North American Hockey League. I don't know if I ever actually got shoe check. I knew it was a thing, so I would sit with my feet as far back from under the table as possible. But I don't remember shoe checking being a thing with the Cherokee in the years that I was there, all those years ago.
Yeah, I mean, of course, back then they were really into leaners and stuff like that.
I remember the leaners in the hotels, and I don't remember any of that with the Cherokee though. It was afterwards where I remember those.
Well, I remember those. I remember those. They were rampant back then. Even before then. Now I do remember one story where you actually pranked somebody.
You gotta give me more details.
This is real easy. You ordered dinner in room service, and you charged it to my room.
Was it?
Don't
I don't
remember which
remember.
year it was, but it was one of the two. And for some reason I just remembered that. It just kicked into my head. Yeah, it was a joke. I mean, we all knew that was, and we all laughed about it. But
Yeah.
then, but Robertson had to be all serious and stuff. He had to, be like, "Hey, I gotta, I gotta be, and show him that he can't get away with blah blah blah." And I'm going, dude, it was a joke. But we
Okay.
were trying
Well,
to. So,
hopefully, I apologize for it. I don't
well,
remember
he
that.
called you up front, and you sat next to me, and you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry," I'm like, "Going, dude, I realize it was a joke, okay, and it was fine, and stuff." But no, that was, I remember now. I just that clicked in my head. And I thought it was a great joke, it was a funny joke, because back then it wasn't like you went and ordered, lobster tails and shrimp cocktails or something. You just ordered like a burger and fry or whatever, and I mean, it's the harm in that, you charge that to my room. But I mean, I just thought it was funny. I thought it was a good joke, because you could do that back then. You'd get away with it. You can't now. But you could then,
Yeah.
everything's different now. But back then, you could get away with it, and I just thought it was funny. And trying to remember some of the other stuff that we did back then, because, like I said, most of it was usually with the coaches, so there was always some interesting times there. But I'm trying to remember. Doggone it, yeah, but. It's just the idea that the camaraderie was really tight back then. I mean, those guys, some of my most fun favorite times was during that era, that stretch between 97 through probably 2010 was my favorite, because that's where, I traveled with the team. I did all kinds of stuff, and like I said, it was just silly season in addition to being hockey, but and then 2010 on to when I finished in 2017, it wasn't, well, that was, I didn't travel as much with the team. And by 2012 or so, whenever things changed over when they put in pay-per-view hockey for all the teams in the rinks, and that meant I didn't get to travel anymore with the team broadcasting road games. And then, it was like, it was just different. I just was like, okay, that's fine, and stuff. But it was still fun. I mean, I loved the guys that I worked with. Kenny Miller and T.O. and all those guys back then, and now got Nick Saenz in there. And the ownership changed. After we lost Kenny's dad, who was the president of our hockey team back then, Sap Miller. After we lost him, and then now, from then till now, it's been Don and Kerry Manders, and they have done a bang up job of keeping this team going, not only going but thriving. And
That's great.
so yeah, the team is definitely back on the uptick, and it's been just so much fun to see them reap the rewards of hard work. And that's what I like about it, is they work hard. And it's a real team effort, and I really have enjoyed seeing the success that these guys have gotten. And but anyway, but so you played out in Helena. How long did you stay in Helena? 1 year?
So I played there 2 years with the Helena Bighorns. That's back when you had three Montana teams in the NA, us, Billings, Bozeman. We'd play Fargo. Threw in there was an Iowa team one of the years. So that we were always traveling. A couple of trips to Alaska. The only 2 times I've ever been to Alaska. A couple of teams I had there in Fairbanks and Anchorage. Crazy fans up there. I do remember that.
Well, there's nothing else to do up there, I would think so.
Exactly. But yeah, I played 2 years in the NA and then 1 year in the Eastern Junior Hockey League out in Boston area, where I played in Rockland for the Bay State Breakers for a year before I went to college.
Where'd you go to school?
I did my undergrad at Elmira College in New York, right near Ithaca in New York, in the Finger Lakes region of New York.
Okay, what did you go to school for?
History and English literature major.
Okay, and then where does the Willard train pull into next after that?
From there, I went to law school back in Toledo, Ohio, at UT. And after law school, once I got my bar license, I've been with the United States Army JAG Corps, the Judge Advocate General. So I've been a military lawyer these past 7 years. And as I was talking about, we've been playing phone tag for a little while here. I'm actually in the process of changing jobs. My house in Nashville, so I work in Kentucky during the week. That's why I'm on this Eastern Standard, Central Standard mix during the week kind of thing. But finally going back to my house that I have in Nashville, where I joined a firm there with an attorney I used to work with, and we're going to be doing military cases worldwide and be based out of Nashville, and it's going to be great.
Wow, that's pretty awesome, man. Congratulations. What part of
I appreciate
Kentucky were you working at?
it. They have me at Fort Knox, and that's so I'm in Elizabethtown, Kentucky right now, and then moving the remainder of my stuff back to Nashville. So it was very these past like 9 months or so, it was weird. I had to keep my house in Nashville, where my girlfriend's there. She's a nurse at Vanderbilt, and so she's there during the week doing her thing, and then I have an apartment here in Elizabethtown while I was working. The whole idea of doing this for a year and then moving back and being full time in Nashville afterwards.
Wow, that takes a lot of dedication and a little insanity. So,
Yeah, a little bit of both.
yep.
A lot of lack of sleep, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, let's wind this puppy up. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions I ask everybody at the end.
Absolutely.
That is, Number one, what advice would the Larry Willard of today give to that 16-year-old kid playing Cherokee hockey?
Just, I would say enjoy it. Looking back, especially that first year, those are some of the best memories I had. Some great guys in that team. The camaraderie you talked about, it was there that first year. It was there the second year, not as much, from what I recall. I was closer with the guys that first year. And just enjoy every little minute kind of thing. And, because looking back, it's a lot of the stuff that, I can't remember. Thank goodness I got guys like you and Chris Kraft to remind me of some of these crazy things that we used to do back in the day with the Todd Blazkowicz and the Fred Hasenfusses of the day and
Oh yeah.
all those crazy characters.
Yep. And of course, Hasenfuss, he just became a dad for the first time not too long ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, about not quite a year ago. So it's like,
Okay.
yeah, so I'm like, so Fred, what are you gonna what things are you gonna impart to your kid? He's like, how to be a good golfer. Yeah. So yeah, I was like, great,
That
Fred.
sounds like Fred.
Yeah, that's Fred in a nutshell.
Yep.
And so him and his billet brother did one of these with me at the same time, and they're like
Oh,
15
man.
years apart. So because his billet brother later went on to play with us as well, played for the
That's
Cherokees.
awesome.
Yeah, so it's yeah, if you go on the website and you'll scroll down through the different editions, he they're in there. Their names are in there together. So anyway. Well, last thing, what would you like to say to Cherokee Nation? Because for whatever reason, and I don't think it's me, they tune in. Fans, alumni coaches, current coaches, current players, etc. It's a solid fan base, and they tune into this thing, and we're grateful for that. But what is it you would like to say to them?
I don't know, kind of putting the spot here, but hopefully, some of the guys out there have some good fond memories as I have of them. I love playing with each and every one of them. Sorry if I, especially the Open brothers, I couldn't remember your last name. Hopefully no one holds it against me or, reads too much into some of the things we're talking about, because the only 2 years I was there, I had great experiences, different experiences each year, but great experiences all around. And it helped get me ready for the next thing in life. And that was going on almost 20 years ago, and it's crazy to think that I started off as some 16-year-old kid in high school playing there, and now I'm in my mid-30s, and who knows from here.
That's you can that's why we have these memories, because it's just a chance to laugh, have a good laugh thinking about them, because obviously we're all a little older, a little wiser, whatever, but it still feels good to be able to laugh about stuff, and look back fondly
Absolutely.
on good things. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been fun catching up with you, man. I like I said, I really
Yeah.
enjoyed this. It was obviously a good chance to get closure on the whole charge to my room thing, but no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, but
I feel terrible. I don't remember that.
I do. I just remember
I have
because
no
we
doubt
did.
it probably happened.
No, it did. It played out on the
Yeah.
bus. That's the only reason I knew, was because when I went to check out, they told me about it, and I'm like, oh, what? Okay. And I'm like, I didn't order anything. At first I was kind of like, wait, I didn't order anything. And then it clicked in my head. Somebody said, one of the players probably did it, and I think one of the players did rat you out. So that's the only that's the only reason I knew. So,
There
but
you go.
no good sneaks. Anyway, no, but and then it was Mike Robertson who, like I said, he, we talked about, he talked to me about it or something, and I'm like, well, it's all right. Just he's like, no, we need to, nip this in the bud, blah blah blah. And I'm like, stop it. It was a joke.
Well,
That's what we
the
do. I mean, my God, the jokes we played back then were far worse than putting a hamburger on somebody's bill. Okay, so trust me, far worse. So,
I appreciate that, and I can tell you that the 16-year-old me definitely apologizes.
stop it. I don't want to hear that stuff.
Apologize, but it's been an absolute pleasure, though. I really appreciate you having me on here and wanting me to chat about some things from back in the day.
It's been a
And
blast, man.
yeah.
You know, and the thing is that eventually when we get to whatever normal is anymore, we're gonna have a little reunion and probably do it on the weekend they have their annual fundraiser, their reverse raffle. And what we'll do is we'll do it when they have a game, not two back to backs, but just a game, one game weekend. That's usually when they do their reverse raffle. And what we'll do is we'll just have everybody come in, you know, and if they want to have an alumni game, hey, great. We'll put it together, no biggie. But even if you don't want to play, just to come in, do the raffle thing, that's great. But to go to a game and watch the current team play and hang out and have a couple pops and just laugh hysterically telling stories. That's what I want to do more than anything. So that's the
Doesn't sound
game
too
plan.
bad.
No, it isn't. It's going
I
to be
like
a
it.
blast. So I'll keep you in the loop for that too. So, but thanks
Sounds good.
again for doing this, man. I really do appreciate it. And hey, best of luck always, man.
I appreciate my pleasure and glad to be a part of it. And thanks for thinking of me and to you and any Cherokee alumni that I played with. If you're ever in Nashville, give me a shout. I'm always around.
Well, there's a few in there. There's about, I think, three that I know that come to the top of my mind that are from Nashville. They're in Nashville now. So,
Good
anywho,
deal.
anyhow, well, thanks a lot. That's Larry Willard. That's his story. And I tell you what, we appreciate you sticking around, tuning in. Don't forget, all you got to do is go to whatever platform you use to consume your podcasts and just subscribe to Cherokee Rewind. And every time a new episode drops, it will let you know. So for Larry, I am Mick. Thanks a lot. Well, we'll catch you next time right here on the Cherokee Rewind.